Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old. Arthur and Eames only share a handful of moments in Christopher Nolan's Inception. However, the subjects of episode 18 somehow manage to take fandom by storm. Looking into the hows and whys and what fors with Bucket was especially fun for me, because it's been quite a while since an episode was about a pairing that I myself ship to. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship, and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk / Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fan works might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, / meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net, that's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at Shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast. In addition to the Ko-Fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, reading and gifting, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song,
spoilers.
This is another episode that turned out quite long, and I freely admit it's at least partly my fault, not just because I happily joined Bucket in the squee, but also because somehow I ended up pimping one of my current OTPs. So be prepared not only for an ode to the amazing Arthur Eames fandom, but also for a couple of detours into the world of Chinese web drama Guardian. But let's dive right in. Hi Bucket!
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting. It's really nice to be in your podcast.
It wasn't so easy to find a date that worked, but we managed. So we that's managed. Great.
Yes.
Yes. And I don't know, before we go into the fandom side of things, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay. Well, I'm Beckett online most of the time. And I am from Argentina, but I live in Denmark.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'm studying animation here. So.
Oh, okay.
Yo.
So is that how you know your nominator?
No, really. Actually, we met online like in 2009 or something.
Okay.
Yeah. We do live in the same city now, but it used to be an online friendship.
Oh, that's awesome, though.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, so what's your fandom background?
Okay, for fandom, I started way back, I think it was with anime. I started trying to find a way to download anime because I was sick of the translations, like the dubbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having to download like one episode a day because of bandwidth issues. And it was like,
yeah.
But then it's like, okay, what do I do now that I have to wait for the next episode? So I started getting into looking for fan fiction. I don't know how, I don't remember how I stumbled upon it, but it was Quizilla.
Okay.
Yeah. And then basically, I'm very selective with the fandoms I participate with. Not selective in, as in snobby, but not many things really catch my attention to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been very on the sides of fandoms, like on the corners, like being like, yeah, I like this, thank you for feeding me, or like, this is my drawing I made, here, look at it.
What have been your main fandoms then?
Yeah, I gotta say, like, the ones that I actually being really hardcore with had been like, there's an anime called Katekyo Hitman Reborn, actually a manga. Mm-hmm. I never watched the anime, which I started with this. It was the first shipping manifesto I read for one of the ships. Hmm? And it was it was pages upon pages of like, oh, they touched me. So like, this looks like they're holding hands. And I was like, oh my God, it's true. And yeah, that was my first, baby's first OTP.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I moved into comics.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, because of Young Justice, it was a very weird hiatus with the series. So I started reading the comics, which had nothing to do with the series. But okay. I was like, okay, I want to know more about this because waiting 3 months for an episode is driving me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think, that's when I started talking with Ida more. Mm-hmm. We knew each other from before, from like this site called Plurk, which was like a Twitter.
Yeah.
And then, we went into like Young Avengers and that kind of DC comics, but mostly the Bat Family.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the Robins. but yeah, like that's the thing. I go through one thing like very slow.
Then you should listen to the episode about Jason and Dick.
I did listen to that.
You just...
Yeah.
Shameless self-plug.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, huh. Oh, you were like, oh my God, there are more than one Robin.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like eight. it was, so I kept on. The thing is, like, I enjoy a lot of stuff, but I focused on one thing at a time for years.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, like I tried to butterfly around fandoms a little bit, but nothing really, it's really hard for me to keep something going for a long time. Yeah. So I just like read like five things and then I'm good with that. But this one, I will read the entire AO3 tag.
Ooh.
And I will spend years sitting on this rock. Yeah, you know. But yeah, for the Inception, the one we're talking mm-hmm. now, it was like 5 or 6 years of reading fake constantly. And then I move on to Voltron, and then I stop with that. And now I'm waiting to see what's the next big thing for me. So yeah, very small. I mean, I enjoyed a lot of stuff, but mostly from the sidelines, like cheering people on.
Yeah. So when you have a fan, do you latch on to one specific pairing as well, or do you multi-ship, or?
I mean, I appreciate ships, but I am definitely an OTP kind of person. Like, like, I will read, especially if people recommend things, I'm like, okay, I will read this. I don't mind. But in my heart of hearts, I can do that. I can't do that on my own. I have to receive it from people.
And as the title of this episode implies, your OTP in by in Inception are Arthur and Eames, which I also ship. So that's nice. That was one of those really like juggernaut ships that just took everyone by surprise.
Do you know, like, there was like this post going around saying, like, shaming people, like, you see two white characters looking at each other in the background of one scene and you ship them. It's like, that's me.
Unfortunately.
I'm so sorry, but that's me. I love them.
Admittedly, in Inception, none of the characters really get a lot of character development.
Fair. To be fair to all the fans, yes, we deserve more than that. And I appreciate the fans for giving it to me.
Yes, because that is definitely a fan-driven fandom.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, okay, they look at each other and they share these, like, kind of, these three phrases that are iconic, but that's it. The rest is up to us.
Yeah, but before we go into, like, details about that, why don't we just assume that not everyone has, like, seen Inception, knows who these people are.
Okay. So Inception is a movie by the man of the hour called Nolan, Christopher Nolan, 2010, I think. It is about this. I love the world about it. Like, I love the world so much. So it's very basic, normal, everyday, but there's this one piece of tech that allows you to share dreams with people. They never explain it. And you're like, okay, suspension as if I plug this IV line into my, and we can share dreams, love it. The main thing about this is that this man has had some legal issues with the US and has had to leave the US and is trying to find a way back home to his children. And the entire movie is one last gig that will allow him to come back.
Yeah, a huge heist.
So he has to convince a huge heist.
But everything in dream space.
He has to convince this.
But everything happens in dream space.
Exactly. So, like, all that, like, the stakes are high, but not as high. But then you find out that they are very high, actually, because if they die in the dream, they will not die in real life, but it would not be good for the brains. So they have to convince this heir of, like, an Australian energy magnate to dissolve his father's empire. And it's like, okay, let's do this by planting this idea in his brain that he doesn't like his dad anymore. He wants to, you know, that's the main thing, I think. It's like the relationship between the father and the dad is very fruity and it's very mind-bending. And I don't know what else to say. There's this group of characters they have to use for the dream.
You always need a team if you want to influence someone's dreams.
Yeah, so you have, like, the person who is dreaming the dream and then everybody else is inside it. And then you have the person who's going to play as other people so they can pass out as a subconscious, as part of the person's subconscious. And then there's the forger. Yes, the forger. There's the architect who builds the dream. There's a dreamer. There's a structure who's the Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie. He is the one with the man with the plan. And
then there's the...
I think that's... Oh, and the chemist.
And the point man. Yeah.
The point man, my man.
How can you forget Arthur?
I didn't mention him.
He's the guy who makes everything happen in the real world, mostly. He makes sure that all the logistics are in place and...
He investigates, he's very good at, like, the nitpicking the details of make sure that everything is on wheels, like, everything's oiled. And he's really good at his job, and he's very handsome.
He's played by
very
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so yes.
Very nice shots of him flying around in the air.
And the Forger is played by Tom Hardy.
Yes, yes. Tom Hardy, who is like, I love him. He's like, I've talked about him with many people, and he's the one man who turned men gay. And it's like, I passed this conversation with so many guys. I'm like, I'm not gay, but for Tom Hardy.
I did not know that.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's something like, even my brother, it's like, we were talking about with him about a movie, and he was like, yes, for him. I was like, okay, that's something new I learned about him.
No, I mean, I can't blame him. Yes, he definitely has a certain something. And he's awesome as Eames.
He's really sleazy, like very like.
Yeah. And I mean, and what's interesting is that because the film very much focuses on like the heist storyline, basically. We don't get a whole lot of like backstory or, you know, character stuff, but we get these little tidbits, like the fact that Arthur and Eames obviously have worked with Cobb, the Leonardo DiCaprio character, before.
Yes, you have like little like hints about they are about, but and I think that's why the fandom was so like successful at like taking these very little words that like that utter by the characters, and like, yes, this is the whole backstory for that.
Yeah.
So it's very enriching to fandom.
And did you did you come to the fandom via the movie, or did you first discover like the fandom and then watch the movie?
No, I like everybody else in the world, went to watch the movie when it came out. I had no idea what it was about, and I came out like, oh my god, it blew my mind. I think I went to watch it twice in the cinema, and even like I enjoyed it a lot. I am very, very like I want to say dumb, but I can also say unobservant when it comes to ships. I was like, people had to point them out to me, and I'm like, oh my god, you're right. I think I'm a little bit better right now. That was a couple of years ago. But it was like a couple of months after the movie came out. I was talking to one of my friends, and she was like, oh my god, I'm reading this face. Read this one. I'm like, okay. And I was like, oh my god, more. So we started, we started this you know, I think at one point I found a wreck list. And it was a wreck list, not like it just...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was...
That was the time when people still did that sort of thing.
It was 650 fix.
Oh. I love people like that. I love them so much.
I was like, okay, crack knuckles. Yeah. Let's do it. So I read all of those.
Yeah.
It took some time because I downloaded all the EPUBs in my phone. And I was just before bed, I was just like, okay, I'm going to read this. that was one of the reasons I had very, very little sleep that year.
Yeah. You did see the movie, but you only started really shipping them because of like fan fiction.
Exactly. As usual, I'm like, okay, that's nice. Oh, those characters look nice. Oh my god, you were right.
Yeah.
That's the kind of feeling I always get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while too, because that was during the time after the great LJ strike through, so I'd left LJ. But Dreamwit wasn't really all that active. So I was kind of stuck in limbo, and then I can't even remember how I discovered that suddenly everyone was writing Arthur Eames, and I found it, and then of course I was all over the AO3 tag and all about all the rec lists and everything. But yeah, I don't even remember how I discovered the fact that this little pairing had just eaten all of Flash fandom.
It was so great. It was, I mean, there's so many fics that I have lost because they were in LJ. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, they weren't migrated to AO3 or they are there maybe, but I haven't found them yet again. And it's like, I was very bad at bookmarking at the time.
Yeah.
So I just read and read and read. And I can only like, my recs today are like mostly the ones that I keep coming back because there were so many others that I loved.
Yeah.
But I don't know where they are or how to find them.
I had a delicious archive.
Ooh.
I was really good about upkeep and tagging and everything. And then you know what happened to Delicious, right? It went boom.
I don't know. How dare they?
Yeah, so I only have everything that I wrecked from 2015 onwards. Everything before that has been lost.
God. I tried to use Delicious once and I opened it. I was like, oh, this is so complicated and my brain is too little, and I went out. But I can't believe they deleted everything.
Yeah, quite a long while they just kept it up. You could just couldn't really use it anymore, but it still existed. Yeah. So I guess I didn't realize that it would just go away at some point. So I never exported the bookmarks. That's also where most of my Inception bookmarks lived.
Yeah,
so I lost them all.
I'm glad I've never been organized, so I didn't have that problem. But I still have, there's so many that I remember the plot, and I've been trying so hard working with Google, please help me find this, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but before we go into the fandom side of things, you already mentioned that there's like a few specific canon moments that make you go, ooh.
Yeah. There's I have a gift set here that I'm gonna copy and paste because it has all the phrases. It has first of all, I think the most the one that's he knows where Eames is. I mean, I know it's Arthur who's point man, know it all, but he does know where he is at the moment. So that's yay. There's the classic. You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger.
Darling.
Thank you so much.
If I remember correctly, that was ad-libbed, right?
I have no idea, and I'm going to lose my mind. Really?
I think that was ad-libbed, the darling part.
I love him so much. he's a dog person, and I love him already for that, but yeah. Wow. I mean, it has been giving us food for so long, and it was just an ad-lib.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He's just, in case someone hasn't seen the movie, he says this while firing a huge gun.
Yeah, there's Arthur with a little gun trying to shoot this far away military projections. And then he comes with this rattling gun, is it called?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, and they're all dressed in suits, and it's very nice. And it's also a lot of back and forth with about the specificity. I appreciate the specificity, Mr. Eames. Mm-hmm. And then Eames seems to be I appreciate your condescension. And it's this banter that they have very little, and they're just making fun of Arthur and making him fall backwards on his chair, and
it's the kindergarten approach.
This is very they have a moment where they push Arthur to show how the kicks work, which is the gut reaction of your body falling and waking you up, and then they find out to show Eames being lol. It's thank you. Yeah, he makes fun of him. It's really cute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and go to sleep, Mr. Eames. They have a many, it's basically five phrases that have been running around in my head, thank you, world.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about it, it's completely astonishing what fandom made of, that little canon just... turn it. I mean, seriously, I think probably that's probably how I discovered it, because my favorite writers from other fandoms were suddenly all writing Arthur Eames.
Yeah, everybody was yep, this is where we live now.
Yeah, and long fics and AUs, and it was, yeah.
It is amazing how many long fics the fandom has. It's kind of annoying because you're okay, when I read some, oh God, it's 70K, I'm going to be awake until 5 in the morning. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking the fandom that it reminds me most of, that it's the MCU, the big ships in the MCU, Stucky or Stony or something, you know?
Yeah.
Where they have a million fics and so many of them are excellent.
Yes, exactly. God, yes. So, like, that was just like high quality. Like, you know, you can go in and be like confident that it's gonna be good. Yeah. At least possibly good.
Yeah.
But mostly excellent. It's just so good. Yeah.
Exactly. So, is that mostly the kind of interactions you have with fandom, like reading fic, or do you also make your own?
Okay, I have this thing where I am absolutely useless at drawing real life people. Mm-hmm. So, for as much as I love these two, I have never in my life drawn them.
Okay.
Ever, which is weird because that's how I express my love for stuff.
Yeah.
And even doodles, like nothing. No. I've never even attempted to capture the likeness in the paper. So yeah, I'm mostly being like, yeah, sitting late at night, just reading fic. I've been trying to get like people into it. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in LJ and like commenting and like all the different communities and all the kink memes. And it was very, very, like not collaborate, like what you call it? Like great. This is like a great community mm-hmm. of people. Just trying to be like, okay, more, more, more. Trying to encourage people to get more of that. But then it kind of died out. And since then, I have like managed to convince one other person to read. And it is, it took me a while. And then she started reading and was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. But that's the only, and then it was recently, now in my new school, I've made two people read some fics. Mm-hmm. And they really liked it. And one of them drew fan art. And I'm just as thankful for this, like, 8 years after the fact, I get some fan art, some new, fresh fan mm-hmm. art. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, mostly for me, it has been just consuming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, so it's not no longer very active these days, is it?
Yeah. I mean, there are still some people writing mm-hmm. fake. I think, I don't remember their name. I follow them on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Bookshop, I think, is the art author. She just keeps writing alternate universes, like 200K. Oh. They are interior decorators. And it's like, okay. sure. And they're like on TV for being interior decorators. Like, I love it.
Okay.
Let's go. Yeah. But yeah, mostly it is kind of, I tried to look up some recent things and they're mostly like in French or Russian. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You experienced, but back then you did experience the fandom as like a friendly sort of place. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen any kind of issue mm-hmm. within the fandom. Yeah. Yeah.
And were there like common tropes or fanons that stuck out to
you? Well, I mean, there's the Arthur is this lazy man, and Arthur is this Arthur. Eames is this mm-hmm. lazy man, and Arthur is this perfectly put together, and he's trying to like claw his mm-hmm. clothes off. And I really like, there's one fake that just like has Arthur being absolutely dumb. Like he has his little notebook, because in the movie he has his mm-hmm. moleskins. And he keeps writing stuff in the movie. And then in the fic, it's like, oh, he's just writing things to Wikipedia afterwards. And it's horrible. And it's like, thank you for subverting this.
But because, that applies completely in the most common, like, interpretation of...
Exactly. He's like, I'm just trying to, like, note for, like, looking at this person that I want to, or like, following this model, or, like, watching Project Runway.
Yeah. But, I very clearly remember that there was a lot of fic about Eames wanting to muss up Arthur's perfect composure.
Yes. Like, just being like, yeah, just looking at him, being like, you are too well put together. I must do something about this.
and then completely falling apart when Eames as much as opens like a button or something.
Yeah, like he took off his jacket and he has like a vest. Oh my
you
God,
can
he's
see
wearing
his forearms because he's pulling back his shirt sleeves.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the shirt sleeves. Yeah. And then I think the ones are like, there's very few little moments in the movie. And one of my favorite ones that people have latched on is Arthur saying that Mal, when she was alive, was lovely. Because you never actually know her. You just know
the projection in Cobb's head.
Yeah, that thinks he killed her.
Yeah.
So it's a very evil character. But in real, like, well, how was she in real life? And he's just saying, she was lovely, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of fics wrote like a lovely friendship between Arthur and Mal.
It was that's one of my favorite things. It has nothing to do with Eames, so who cares about Eames? But yeah, that was lovely. No, I care too much.
And there were also lots and lots of AUs.
Yes, there's I think there's my favorite ones are the ones that fit with the canon afterwards. Mm-hmm. There's some of them that look completely AU, but they still have dream share.
Yeah.
And there's the ones that are like, okay, the coffee shop AUs that I love. There's the... there was a very popular thing to be cat boys and werewolf or like dog boys. I found like...
I don't think I read those.
It might have been my werewolf fiction that made me find them, but if there's like a plenty of them where it's either like Arthur is a cat because of a failed dream share experiment, he just throws a tail and I'm like, sure,
okay,
or he was born a cat boy, or like something like that, just weird stuff, but I love it. And I realized today when I was thinking about it, like, I don't think this is a very new thing for me to read about like soulmate AUs. And I haven't. And I went to AO3 and there's like 30 or something like that.
Oh.
So I know what I'll be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know yet, but maybe it will be, new things to wreck.
Yeah. And there were definitely a lot of like backstories filling out the gaps. Because, like you said, there's only very little of actual canon.
Which I think is great, because I think it's just you have so much freedom, and there's so many different types of stories to tell with that.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing set in stone except for very little phrases.
Mm. Yeah, and also with the world, you know, you have them like because dream sharing was like a military invention or something. You have them with like at least Arthur with a military background. Eames usually not so much. If I remember correctly,
if Eames is in the military, it's a con, so don't trust that. I think that the military backgrounds or the Cobb meeting Arthur and then coming to help Cobb out. Mm-hmm. How that happens, how do they meet, what kind of friend they are, how do they meet Eames, like, it's just, so many things.
And it's a ship that definitely hits my competence kink very hard.
Who doesn't like a competent, like, man in a suit?
Like, see, it's kind of funny. I just, while we talk, I was just kind of comparing in my head. I was like, you know, I'm shipping a ship that's just like that right now. And it's Shen Wei and Zhao Yunlan from Guardian, Chinese web drama.
Okay. Yeah.
And Shen Wei is like really put together. He wears sleeve garters, for heaven's sake.
I love the thing. I'm gonna Google.
And Zhao Yunlan is like a laid back like policeman, and you know, it's like awesome. He's very much Eames, except more lawful. Oh, except a bit, you know, more like on the side of the law technically.
Technically, I mean, nobody in Inception is on the side of the law, but you know. Oh, I'm gonna check it out. I haven't even heard of it.
But yeah, anyway, they just remind me while we were talking about Arthur and Eames. I was just like, and I was playing like competence kick. That's still very much valid for me. I like a man who knows what he's doing, and they're both very good at their jobs.
And
that was just completely my fault that we just went off topic. I'm sorry.
That's not a problem.
And I'm always glad to, you know, spread the word of Guardian. it's romance. It's based on a boys' love novel, but because it's Chinese,
okay.
They couldn't actually make it gay, but they made it as gay as they could.
They tried their hardest.
There's like looks, and there's no like heterosexual romance in it at all.
Hell yeah! Well, it depends.
Yeah, because
yeah,
you know sometimes
nice.
When it gets like queerbaity, you know, it's like where you have all these heavy looks and stuff. But oh no, look, I have a girlfriend. I'm straight.
Yeah. This is good. I'm gonna check it out. The
people, which is also
really
very
nice.
Very nice with Inception, of course, because all the characters are mostly like ciphers, very broadly drawn. There's not much that you can't do with them.
Exactly.
There's no pesky girlfriends and cool. stuff. And you have like even like gender bending, because Eames in the dream sometimes looks like a woman.
Yeah. And then just like, oh my god, all the fix, like all the weird porn within the dreams. It's like, I'm going to find out something new about myself today.
Yeah.
Like, there's no limitations.
So I don't know. And also like the vids. I remember the excellent vids that were made, like AU vids.
I have, you know, I've been thinking about it. I don't think I've ever seen one. So if you're free to recommend me some, because I would
Like, unfortunately, like I said, most of my Inception recommendations have gone poof. But but on YouTube, there's a lot of really good Inception vids. I remember also partly very, very sexy. Like, you can tell what this fandom has on its mind.
You know, like, I've been trying to, like, you know, with the gift sets and stuff, I've been trying to find my Inception tag. I have nothing on it. I don't know why, but there's nothing on my tag.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, right? It's like one page.
But it can just be, I mean, sometimes Tumblr just eats posts.
I've been trying, also, like, I've tried to find some new stuff, and it's like, it's impossible to navigate. I hate it so much right now. Because it became so dumb, but like so obscure. Like I type like tag/Inception, and there's like one page, and it's like that's. I'm pretty sure it's not only one page. Give me more.
No, that's
yeah.
And even when you post something and you know you've tagged it correctly, it just doesn't show up in the tag. It's like, what the hell, Tumblr?
Yeah, it's really annoying. It's killing people who live from. The like fan arts or like creations. It's like it's really bad. Let's dunk on Tumblr while we are at it.
Tumblr deserves being dumped on.
Absolutely.
But yeah so now we've been squeeing about the awesome fandom content for a long while. Shall we get to the more specific Rex?
For sure, let's go.
Great. So what have you got for us?
Okay. So the first one, I think I'm going to like be a little bit more talkative about, because I have read it so many times.
Yes.
So it's, do you know French?
Yes.
Can you say it?
Presque vu.
Thank you. By Rajpur Frog.
Who also writes Guardian fic.
Oh my god!
Just saying.
They keep on giving.
I'm sorry. I'm shutting up about Guardian now.
No, but it's great. It's great. I don't know this fake. Oh. I think it's if you don't know anything about Inception, you can just read it as a standalone like book, and it's such great quality. Mm-hmm. I will talk about it for years.
Go on. Not years, but...
I'll do my best. So it's basically the big military backstory fic that everybody in the fandom knows and loves and like appreciates a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, this is the fic that took me a while to get on. I remember this specifically because first the title, I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And second, when you start reading it...
It's almost seen.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I think I try Googling it sometimes, but I keep forgetting what it means.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a word play on déjà vu.
Oh, I think it is. I think it's the tip of a tongue.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because it does start with that. Anyway, it's a fic that just like you start reading it and it's Arthur meeting Moll, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where's Eames? And I, so I keep like letting it go, and just took me a while to get to it because I was being a dumbass. And
where's my ship?
Where's my ship? I can't find Eames. Where is he? And then I actually read him, and the part with Mal is my favorite part. But anyway, it is this Arthur meets Mal when he's in college, and they're very good besties. And it's really funny the way Mal introduces Cobb to Arthur, because he hates him, and then they get drunk and they're the best friends forever, but in a kind of weird way, because Cobb thinks he's so much older than Arthur, so he acts like a dad. So they have this really cute, really nice dynamic of friendship, and then Mal finds this passive device, the machine they use to go into dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And takes it to Arthur, and it's like, I'm gonna show you everything you cannot, like Arthur dreams of visiting many places and doing many things and wearing designer clothes, and he has no money.
Mm-hmm.
So Mal, who has the money and has seen all the things, takes him into these dreams to give him these things to him.
Oh.
So it's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you spend many, many, many paragraphs reading about them going to Paris, to Prague, to like Switzerland, and then Arthur shows Mal the things that he remembers from his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day Cos finds him, and he's like, "What the fuck are you doing? You could die like this. This is not safe." And they're like, "Yeah, I mean, nothing ever happened." And he's like, "What do you mean nothing ever happened? Hasn't your dream collapsed?" So they take him. Cobb takes the both of them to the military. Mm-hmm. And the general is like, "You've committed treason, so you must work for us now." So that's the military part of it, and mm-hmm. it's really awful. Like, I think it digs, for me, it works so well because it digs so deep into the disaster that is dream sharing.
Yeah.
Like, all the times they die or they collapse, the buildings collapse, or they like exploded, or like eaten by a fucking worm from the sand. So it's a very like not graphic, but very, you can feel it, you know, like the mm-hmm. desperation of these people who are trapped in this military complex and mm-hmm. they cannot get out. And they try to live their own lives even after that. Like Mal is planning her wedding, and it's just like, you know. So Eames comes in, of course. This is where the man of the hour comes in. And I think he has one of my favorite moments in all fics, where Eames takes Arthur into a dream, just the two of them,
mm-hmm.
and he dreams into the Kublai Khan garden of pleasure, like this lush tropical jungle mm-hmm. with birds of paradise and the river, and he recites Kublai Khan to him, and it's so romantic, but nothing happened. So yeah, it's just like this whole backstory, it just fits so well with everything that happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that military gets fed up with it. Someone loses their mind and think that he's still dreaming. So he kills a bunch of people, almost killing Arthur. Then it just becomes this clusterfuck. Yeah. That's like nobody knows what to do with this project because they don't know how to apply it without it being dangerous. Mm-hmm. So they kind of cancel it. Eames takes off. And Arthur is like, "I can't go with you."
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had anything done yet. Like, there's no romance, mm-hmm. even though they have very romantic, this flirtatious and everything, mm-hmm. but there's nothing established. And then when the military is like, "Okay, this is project's closed. Arthur, you're moving to the CIA. And he's like, "Oh, no." So he also takes off, but on his own, without money. He lives like a year in Europe trying to find a way to make it. I'm taking on too long, sorry. Basically, it's just the way they reunite. He reunites with mm-hmm. Eames. It's very sweet and very jealous, like from Eames, because Arthur is working for another man, and Eames thinks they're together, and he robs the man naked, like robs his entire house, drains all his accounts, even the Zurich ones. So he's like, "Arthur, who the fuck is Eames? He stole everything I had." And he's like, "Oh, oops." And then everything, they're getting together and it's really nice. And then Mal dies. And it's just like this, he has to go work with Cobb because he can't leave Cobb alone because it's his, one of his best friends. And Eames is jealous. So it's all very like, it's so good. There's a painting they get at some point, which is like represents the relationship. And then Eames sells the painting, which is a Freud and a Lucian Freud. Sorry, Lucian Freud? The painter. The man with the paint. The real life man. Freud's son, I think he was. So he steals this they get this painting together. And then Arthur sees that the painting has been sold. And it's like, oh my God, Eames sold my painting. That means he doesn't care anymore. And they have a really, really like complicated, they get the inception job done and then they go back and it's so, Eames is like, oh my God, you're here. I didn't think you would come after the job because, you know, all these things that have happened. And then he's like, yes, of course I'm here. I didn't know if you would forgive me. And then he's like, okay, wait here. So he goes. And it's like 3 days later, he comes back with a painting and lipstick on his lips and like wearing like a waiter's dress. And it's like, I stole the painting back for you. It's like, yes. Yeah, basically that's a fake. And it's just, I love it. It just goes into every single thing that I love about Inception. And it just takes all everything.
Yeah.
Just great.
Yeah.
Yes.
That one's definitely a fandom favorite for good reason.
Absolutely. I can't like I also it also has a very, very good potfic. That it's a blessing because I can listen to it while I draw, so I don't have to actually read it. So that's why I remember most of the things that happen in this fic because I have a very good
How long is the potfic? Because the fic is like novel length, isn't
it? Yeah, the potfic I think is 7 hours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like it keeps you entertained for a while. Like the fic is like 70k. And so the Postfic does a very good job with all the accents and the words, and it's like hard because you know being American and doing a British accent and French accent, but I appreciate the effort a lot, and it has kept me company many hours. It's really good. Sorry about that. I will not talk so much about the other one.
No, it's completely fine. Like I said, this is a very well deserved fandom favorite.
Yeah, I just like I think it sold me on the whole how good fics can be. I don't know. I used to be like, okay, I wasn't an appreciative of fic, but I used to feel guilty about reading fics. It's like, this is not as good as a book, I guess. And it's like, this is...
Oh, no.
I know. Old-fashioned views of everything. Not anymore.
No.
I think it's so well-crafted. I just like, okay, I can like this. And all of them, all of the other ones that might maybe not have impressed so much on me, I appreciate them so much. Too, like, you know, I know it's so hard. I try to write stuff down, and it's like, how do people come up with this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I write, but not at that level. I'm like, it's like, wow, people, and you do this for free for us just because you love this property so much. I'm like, oh, fandom is amazing.
Fandom is great. I'm never again like this thing, like never again letting any people say anything bad about it. Yeah. Like, So I have that one, which I remember like a lot of it mostly because of the podfic. Yeah. I've read the actual thing a lot of times too, but the podfic helps. And there's the other one called Wherever You Will Be, That's What I Call Home by Jism.
Oh, that sounds... I remember that author as well.
Yeah. I mean, they wrote... I think they wrote a lot of Inception fic. Mm-hmm. And also, I think a lot of Marvel fic.
Yeah, I guess that's probably where I've read them.
Yeah, because...
Because they're a stocky writer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's
where it's at.
Yeah.
I also like stocky a lot.
But yeah.
So Yeah, basically this is mostly known as the domestic verse. And it's basically them settling into domesticity after the Inception job. And it's, I think it has my favorite I love you moment. Because you're reading it and you don't realize that, I think it's, yeah, it's Arthur that hasn't said anything about, like, they don't, they haven't said it, you know? And then, like, it has many, many parts. It's very, it's short, not chapters, but parts. It's a series. So at one point you're reading and it's like Arthur looks at Eames and he's like bare-chested in his kitchen cutting an avocado. And he's like, I love you so fucking much. And Arthur is like, what? And he cuts his hand with a knife because he's like so surprised about it. We've been together for like 3 years. And, and Arthur is like, but you knew, right? I knew, but I never, I was used to the idea of never hearing you say it.
It's like hashtag idiots in love.
Oh my God, yes. I was like, they're coming back from the hospital after they patch him up. And he's like distressed because like Arthur is like, you knew, right? You knew that I love you, but yeah, you know, it's like, it's very sweet.
Aww. Well, sometimes one just needs some nice domestic fluff.
Yes. Which I think the fandom provides in like many, many, many different ways, because I love the guns and the explosions and the dream and the danger, like international men of history. International men of history. But yeah, I love when they go just like, oh, you know what? We're growing old. This is a bit tiresome to be doing this, to be running for your life, your entire life. In that same vein, I have The Material Life of the Californian Suburb, which is a great title, by someone called 11 Inches, which is really funny. And it's also domestic. I mean, it has a bit more how Eames met Arthur and how Eames was a dealer for Cobb. And how they get together, how Arthur is like, oh, why am I attracted to him? He sucks. Like, and then just, you know, the way they fall into each other after the Inception job, and he starts like basically living with Arthur in his LA house. And because Cobb used to be an urban planner, he goes back to that after the job. And Arthur goes back to, but goes, like, I'm working with Cobb again, but legally now, and we're making urban planning. And Eames is like, okay, I'm going to keep doing some jobs. And then it keeps getting dangerous. He's like, what am I doing this? This is like, you know, I prefer to be home with Arthur. And then Cobb shames him because he doesn't have a job. And he's like, what? I can't get a normal job. And he can't. So Cobb helps him get a job. And with like writing a resume, which is one of the funniest stuff I've ever read, like how to tweak the resume to make him not be, you know, what he is. It's really sweet because he has to learn how to type because he's useless at computers. It's just very sweet. He takes classes and in like a local library. But also trying to be like hiding because he's so embarrassed. So he doesn't know. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want Arthur to know. That all of this is happening behind his back. Arthur is like, what are you doing? Like on Mondays at like 8, like, you will find out. But like, I think you're not cheating on me. You're not that stupid. Yeah. So that's a good one too. And he has the best Eames name.
Okay.
I think. Like, you know, because you only know him as Eames. Yes. Oh, one thing I love is Dr. Eames, because it means it's dreams.
It's just like,
the fandom uses that a lot sometimes, like a LOL joke, and it's like, I love the joke. Thank you. So they, it's one of my favorite names they've given for Eames. I've also chosen, I mean, these four things I've chosen because they were supposed to be like a favorite and things I would recommend people. And if I had to recommend one, go for Presque Vous. Because it is all around a winner, but these other three are just like, I don't know if I would recommend them to first timers, but this one is The Waking Years by The Waterfront. And basically it's just, there's a dream share fanzine someone runs and they have like a poll which people in the dreamshare business should hook up.
Ah.
And Arthur is reading it, and he's like, he finds out they're together, and he reads that it is the two, like that he is, they're both voted as the people who should hook up by the entire dreamshare community. And it's just them running a job together with some other people that are like OCs, because I love that about the fandom, mm-hmm. all the different teams they build to justify, because you only know the ones that you know in the film. And all these random structures and chemists from different countries and with weird names, like not weird names, okay, so that's something I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, diverse names. It's just great. I just love it to hear. I've never even heard of these names, and it's just great that they're using them. So they have this, I think it's of course they have sex immediately after they find out about this, and they're like, I can't believe we did this because this man said we should hook up because our moon are like you know, one's a Virgo. How does he know I'm a Virgo? Yeah. You know, that information is classified.
Yeah, that's also and very then, popular, isn't it? Like everything about Arthur's past is classified.
Nobody can find who he is. Oh my god, I don't remember which fic it was, but it's, I think it was, I can't remember, but his last name, because you know him as mm-hmm. Arthur, is Darling.
Aww.
So it's Arthur Darling, and like you have Eames calling him his mm-hmm. last name the entire mm-hmm. fig, and then you find out it's because Eames knew that, and I'm like, it's so stupid,
yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's like, it's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Because of course nobody expects a man like Arthur to be called like have a last name like that. Yeah. So basically, I think that but the one thing about them fucking because Paul told him to, it has a very very good dream sequence. Mm-hmm. Like it goes really hard into Eames' psychological terror, and it's really great. So, yeah, so, you know, you have a bit of everything, you know. You have, like, the smart, you have the seriousness of the movie. It's quite mm-hmm. complete. Yes.
Yes.
I have one more. I would like to make a... Actually,
go right ahead.
I don't know. Yeah, okay, so in our line of work by mm-hmm. Enjambament, it's a fic where Arthur wakes up and the last 10 years of his life have been a dream. So he basically was like a 19-year-old in the military and signed up for this random somnolence project. Mm-hmm. Somnolence is the drug they use to dream. And he goes under, apparently, like, you know, when you don't know you're first in a dream, they have to tell you that you're in a dream. And he has been in a dream for 10 years.
That's...
So he's an old, like an older man, but like, pains, and like he has been in all the things that happened to him, meeting all these people and working with Cobb and working with Eames and working with Ariadne, and so he wakes up and he's 19 again in a military complex, and he's like, what the fuck, I'm gonna murder every single person involved in this. But most importantly, was Eames real? So he goes into this rampage trying to find because some names, of course, he shared dreams with people who were real, and it wasn't all projections. So he starts like this 19-year-old kid who starts like dropping names and like acting way older than he is. And when he dreams, he's also older. So it's this thing about it's so sweet. It's so sweet. It just hits his spot. So yeah, it's very heartbreaking and also very very fulfilling, as I think. Because I love a bit of angst. And there's also another one which I will make, and before moving into a use, I will make a special mention of the Chav verse by the Lyrist, which is an amazing fic, which you start reading, and it's a dreamshare fic, you know, so it's not it's alternate universe, but not really, it's a different kind of backstory. But Eames is a chav, like, you know, like, all this Lissy that he drops, like exudes in the film, comes from this background of him being like a forger of actual documents and living in a block in London, and just having dressing up like in like this Bulgari. What's the name of the brand? Bulgari. Mm-hmm. Like, being a chap, and how he starts working with Arthur and Co-op to help them out with his forgery, real life forgery. And he has a bulldog, if that helps. Yeah. It's always good to have a dog in a fic. But it connects so well with the movie. When you read it, it's like it fits. Yes. It's always surprising. It's like, it actually does fit the movie perfectly. I love it. So it's a really good job by the lyricist. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you also have like some AUs that you particularly love?
Yes. Yes, I do. Okay, so the first one is also by Jisum. It's called I've Got Nothing to Do Today But Smile. The Only Living Boy in New York. That's a long title.
Yeah, those were the times. I sometimes still do that with the brackets in the titles and stuff. Yeah.
I love it. Uh-huh. But just like, I started reading it. It's like, it never ends. Mm-hmm. It is a coffee shop at U, which I think for me, it's at the bar for all coffee shop at U.
Okay.
Because it has everything I want. Mm-hmm. It's a U, okay? So the characters may not be exactly what you expect them to be, but Arthur works in a firm as a lawyer, and he is very tired of his life, but he's like trying to make partner. And it has these beginning sentences introducing Arthur as a character that are like so heartbreaking. Like, it also has a post fic.
Yeah.
That is excellent by Penny Plainness.
Okay.
And I had a time in my life when I couldn't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So what I did is play this fic.
Aww.
This is embarrassing to say, but I would play this fic because I knew the words, and just saying it them in my brain, I was out in 5 minutes flat.
Like, wow.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
If you have trouble sleeping, try doing that. Something that you listen to and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like tricks your brain into being like, okay,
the healing powers of fan fiction.
Yeah, so like for like 3 or 4 months I fell asleep listening to this, like, of course the first 5 minutes and then nothing else, but I know the first 5 minutes still. And it's just like he describes Arthur as a career driven person that has already done so much for this career, that how do you get out of it?
Yeah.
Because I've gone into debt, I've worked my ass off for 5 years, I need to have something to show for it. So he meets Eames, who opens up a coffee shop in front of him, in front of his office. And and he's very, like, not carefree, but, a good man. And he calls him darling immediately, and it's all very sweet. But then Arthur is one working a case, and he's, like, so stressed out, he bakes as a stress relief.
Aww.
So he makes all these muffins, all these brownies, and all this stuff, and he's like, in his apartment, what do I do with this shit? Because I can't bring it to the office because they will make fun of me for my hobby. So he puts everything in a cardboard box and takes it to Eames, and he's just like, this is the best brownie I've ever had in my life. Can I hire you?
Yeah.
It takes the entire fic for it to be resolved, but it's a very sweet bakery coffee shop at U. But with Arthur fighting his need to be happy and his want to make it as a lawyer without really wanting it.
Yeah.
So it's very, very sweet, and I cry. And it's the only thing I could make my roommate read so far. Mm-hmm. I've been trying so hard, but this is the one she actually got because it was a coffee shop at U.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I cried. I don't know anything about these characters, but I cried.
Aww.
So that's one of my favorites too. And the other one is Pablo's Bell, which is a Enter with Caution fic.
Okay.
Because it is by Whiskey Runner. It is about werewolves and cat boys. So we got there. It's still kind of compliant because they're still in Dreamshare, you know? It's not exactly AU.
Okay.
But yeah, they, Arthur has a tail that he tucks into his pants, and he used to have ears when he was born, but he's the person who birthed him cut them out. Oh. He doesn't have cat ears. And he's been hiding his cat nature. And Arthur, Eames is a werewolf, and he meets Arthur and is like, you smell different. Who are you? And it's very, very, very sweet. It has the thing with, you know, heat. And
okay.
So it might make people a bit uncomfortable, but it's not in a denigratory.
Yeah, so they handle the power. There's not like a power imbalance.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, so it's this, Eames comes from a big family of werewolves, which is great, and you get to meet him. Mm-hmm. And it has another thing. If you read the first part, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But then the author was like, oh, my God, I love this. Let's write kid children fic.
Oh, okay.
So, so as in the immortal words of this werewolf doctor that appears in the fic, how do you expect a person who goes through hits not to be pregnant?
Boy.
And it's like,
okay.
So yeah, so this is it is handled differently because it ends up being like a danger for Arthur to carry them. So Ariadne is a surrogate.
Ah, okay.
So they have three beautiful kids, and then you get to read them being parents, and it's like, yay! And they're adorable because the kids have cut ears and little tails. Not for everybody, but I cannot not say it because also, I have a webcomic, mm-hmm. and it's about werewolves, so this is my interest, yes. You know. I cannot not recommend it.
There's plenty of people who adore werewolf fic or cat fic. And
yeah, I mean, it's just like, I want to say I'm not a furry, but I'm tired of denying it. I love the stuff. Mm-hmm. I love it's just such a good community. I would never dress up personally, but all this kind of monsters and people who don't fit in and misfits and outcasts, it just, boy, I love it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my rex for now.
And you already mentioned Chisholm twice. So are they one of your favorite authors?
Yes. I think I read, see, if I remember it correctly, they also wrote about what you call it? Oh my God, 007, Q and
James Bond.
James Bond, of course, yeah, the man. what's his name? Yeah. Well, Q is easier to remember. It's a letter. And they have a lot. They're like my maniac. I'm going to make a correction because I've been calling him they for many years now because I didn't know. And today I was investigating because I realized I was like, what are they writing now? You know, I would like to go back to this. And they wrote, it's a trans guy. He wrote an actual book called Juniper, over here, Juniper Lane, I think. And I am definitely going to buy it because I love everything they've written. Everything I've read and written, it's just, Juniper Lane, by Dylan Morrison, if that helps. Because I think it's just like, when people who write fics write books with their own fiction, it's like, I'm going to support you. I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much. So that's shout out for him.
Definitely.
Because I'm
definitely putting that in the show notes as well.
Yes, great. I haven't read it yet, but it's a queer romance book with two women. And yep. And then there's 11 Inches, who writes many things. Many like plot heavy but also very horny things. Like with a name like that, you kind of gotta do it, you know, but it's very good. So I think I've read everything they've done and I love it.
And you mentioned that you don't really watch vids, but I just had a quick look at what were the little remains of my Arthur Eames recommendations. And there are two bits in them, which I will put in the show notes as well. I mean, I know I had way more, but there's still two that are on my list.
They survived.
Yes. One is Under the Sheets. So it's kind of sexy. By almost Gabby. Uh-huh. And the other one is I See It All in You by Kitten, which is set to swing music. I love swing music.
Oh, who doesn't? It's so energetic. I love
it. Yeah. So I'm going to put those in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but you definitely have art recs, right?
I mean, I put two in here, mm-hmm. which are the same person, which is maybe not the best thing, best use of. You know.
I mean, if those are your favorites, then those are your favorites.
I've had them in my computer forever, mm-hmm. safe, because I was afraid to lose them, and then I lost them. Oh. I was trying to find them today, and I was like, oh my god, they are not here. Where are they? Because I had no idea who the artist was.
Yeah.
The thing about the Inception is like as I said, it was mostly a fic-based mm-hmm. fandom mm-hmm. for me. So I'm very one of these two beautiful men, and I'm very demanding when I want their likeness. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to be. So I didn't really go looking for fan art.
Yeah.
Because I think I didn't draw them. Because when you draw for stuff, people find you, and then you share this synergy mm-hmm. with other people who draw the same stuff that you do. But the first one in particular is called, it's in DeviantArt, mm-hmm. it's called Pulp by Fanley. And it is the angle it is drawn in, the hands they have, they're lighting two cigarettes from the same lighter. And they have a fucking a typewriter on the side for some reason. Like, and this lightning of the, like, the window uh-huh. Shades. It's just, it's like you're peering into a very intimate moment mm-hmm. that you shouldn't be peering into. Oh. And even though there's no nakedness, you feel
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's very intimate. I love mm-hmm. it. And the other one is apparently this is a very, because from the typewriter, I'm going to say this is old timey. Mm-hmm. Maybe the artist had like an AU where they were like in the 30s or 40s yeah. or something like that. Because the other fig also has them like dressed up very nicely in the times, mm-hmm. like long coats and hats.
Yeah, it looks very noir.
Yeah. it's like, yes, they fit. Aesthetic so well. Mm-hmm. 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 So those are the two that I was like, I've had them forever, and now I discovered them because I was like, okay, I'm gonna find them. So I went to Google. Google were very helpful. I found them very quickly.
Very good.
Yes, I'm very happy because I was afraid, because you know people mm-hmm. delete the DeviantArt sometimes. And
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So yeah.
And yeah, and last but not least. Gift sets.
Yes, I put two. One is by Galahad. Galahad.
Yeah, that's why I put stuff in the show notes, so people just have to click the link and.
It's beautiful. God bless text. And the thing is, this thing is I found in my tag. But it was like, mm-hmm. they had changed the Tumblr name, but very helpfully had left like, oh, I'm Galahad now. So
that's good.
The username by Galahad. So if you ever change yeah. Tumblrs, remember, guys, please leave a trace.
Oh, God, yes. Please do that.
Because it's really annoying. It's like, no, it's gone. I just need a link. So this is if you want to know all the lines they have, which are beautiful mm-hmm. and they share together, that's the I know I saw some like story-based gift set where they have mm-hmm. these things from different movies and they create a story with that.
Yeah.
I could not find any. And I haven't reblocked any for some reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... or maybe they've been lost, but yeah. Mm. This is the one with all the quotes and the things you need to know before diving into this ship. Mm-hmm. And the other one I put because I thought it was really funny, and it's Ace Attorney fake screen cap that... so basically, do you know Ace Attorney, the game?
No.
It is a DS game, pixel-based game about mm-hmm. this... lawyers. It's a lawyer game. It is incredibly mm-hmm. funny. They have these most memorable characters, and I will love it to death forever. But they made the characters look like Arthur and Eames and Ariadne and Cope, and it's such a good. It's so well done. It's a really good edit. Mm-hmm. So kudos to the person who made it.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah. It is by Baxi with many Ys.
Well, that's what you have to do on Tumblr. You have to spell your usernames funny.
Exactly. So yeah, instead of saying objection, which is a catchphrase of all the characters, of course it's Inception, and they don't move because it's already enough that they are very well done as characters.
Yeah.
But I love it.
That's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, I think it deserves a shout out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So do you have anything else that you'd like to share about Arthur and Eames?
I think I've already talked an embarrassing amount.
Once again, my goal to stick to under 1 hour. Now, I'm just going to have to say goodbye to that. That's never working.
Listen, I listened to the ones that are a bit longer, and it's perfectly fine, okay. And I enjoy them very much.
I'm glad. So who will I be talking to next then?
You were talking to Xander, mm-hmm. Who is my bestie. Aww. She is the one I write the webcomic with. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for a long time, mm-hmm. and we actually started talking about making this webcomic in 2013.
Yeah.
And at some point, I managed to convince her to read Inception fic.
Ah.
And we got sidetracked for like 3 years.
As one does.
Because it was like, oh, remember, let's talk about the things we want to do in the comic. And like, did you read this fic with Eames where he does this and he does that? Like, oh my God, give me a second, I will do it. So it's a very dear friend mm-hmm. and very dear collaborator, mm-hmm. and she will be talking about Reddy from It.
Who are that?
The movie.
You have to gonna have to spell out that ship for me. That's like a smush name. What are the?
Yeah, I will have to look it up. Gonna,
okay,
No, it is Richard, because I know this, but I don't remember them because I'm not in the fandom. But it is Richard Dozier and Eddie Casbrack from the It fandom.
Ah.
The one with the cherry clam.
Okay, because if I Google Reddy, it gives me Reddit search results. I'm like, no, that's not what I mean.
That's what she said to me, and that's what I wrote, but... Heads up, if you write It ready, it will give you the ship.
Okay, good.
Because I read the book many, many years ago, but I never watched the movie because I'm terrified of the clown. But she's super into it. And I mean, like, by osmosis, I have learned nothing from the fandom. But I'm trying.
And I will...
Hopefully she will have some breaks that I will...
I will learn lots about it now, so...
Yeah, hopefully it will be an enriching experience for everybody.
Great. And so, where can people find you online? Like, where is your comic?
My comic is in Tapas. You can find it under Run, Stop, Go, if mm-hmm. you like werewolves and vampires.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very slow burn, but mm-hmm. it's cute. And it takes forever because you can only post like one or two pages a week.
Okay.
So you have to be patient with webcomics. it is mostly an indulgence that mm-hmm. I do with my free time. And I love it a lot. And I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took a while to start, but once we started, it just goes so well.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And you can find me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back at Draws, which is my Tumblr handle.
Yeah.
Because I started Tumblr way back then. So I have Bucket Draws as a handle.
Yes.
But when I went to Twitter, Bucket Draws was taken.
Aww.
And I was very sad about it.
Yes.
So I changed the first U by a V, and I'm still Bucket Draws, but different.
Yeah. Bucket Draws.
Bucket Draws, yeah.
Yeah.
It is upsetting because also you have to link people, and it's like, okay, you write it like this, or you have make sure that you write it like that. It's annoying, but I will live with it. And maybe at some point I will unify myself under a better. I thought Bucket. Who wants to call themselves Bucket? It's only me, right? Apparently, like with Pokemon Go, I signed up the day it came out, and all the Bucket options were taken.
Seriously?
Oh. All of them. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like the same day, the very same day it came out, I was like, I'm ready.
There's so many buckets in this world.
Yeah. Same with Instagram. It's like, I'm still also Bucket Draws in Instagram because, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
At least it's the same.
Yeah.
Both Twitter and Instagram are the same.
So, great. I had a lot of fun talking with you.
Me too. And thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you too.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
This wraps up the 18th episode. If, like me, it's made you itch to check out some of the amazing fanworks created for this ship, you can do so, as always, in the show notes on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. The next episode will be published on August 16th, and I will be talking with Xander about Richie Teuser and Eddie Kasperak from IT. As always, the episode will be released earlier for Patreon supporters. And if you join right now as a first mate or above, you can also listen to the two special episodes I've already released. The second one was recorded at the Italian Institute Convention, a Shadowhunters Con in Milan in mid-July, where I was joined by some of my friends from Jalex Squad in talking about the relationship between on- and off-screen chemistry, a conversation that also touched on the hot topic of real-person shipping. If that sounds like something you might enjoy, or if you just want to support this podcast and enable me to finally buy a proper microphone, you can sign up on patreon.com/shippingcast. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans.
You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as shippingcast, on Twitter as shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamworth, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
And I apologize again for, you know, kind of going off course and into Guardians.
I noticed that you keep bringing it up.
Yes, because I love it so much. Everyone should watch it. Having said that, I have not finished watching it because I know how it ends and it's going to kill me. So I'm kind of pretending that it doesn't end. It's like, you know.
I understand that feeling. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's Chinese. The Chinese, they, you know, first of all, they cannot be gay. And second of all, they love their dramatic, tragic endings.
no. Okay, I will watch it, and then when I cry, I'll come back to you and like send a very, very sad and angry email.
That's what happens with me when I'm really invested in something, and sometimes I just stop watching it so that it will never ever be finished. I still have not seen all of Agent Carter, because that way it will never have been cancelled.
That's true. You just save a couple of episodes at the end, like, okay, exactly. I still have something to watch if I ever want to.
Exactly. It's like, you know, there's more. I'm not done with it. There's more.
You can make it last forever. Yeah.
Honestly, I was like mid-season two, and then it got cancelled, and I was like, okay. I cannot deal with this.
Oh, that's so sad, though.
And I feel similar. With Guardian, it's similar in a way, in that I cannot handle the fact that I know how it ends.
Well, I think for example, with Eat, everything goes to shit, and I think the entire fandom is just like la 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 la. None of that happened. Everybody's something. From what I understand, I don't know anything about it because I honestly forgot the entire book. Yeah. It was great, a great book. I recommend it. It gripped me, even though I'm a scary baby and I really don't like scary stuff. But I don't know who the characters are anymore.
Yeah.
So, but apparently, people live in like this make-believe world where they're just like, nothing happened. What do you mean? they're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I've been in fandoms like that, but it's like, what, dead? No,
in my world, that doesn't happen. So, hopefully you will know more about that next time.
Yes, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you again.